You know, it seems with each passing year that the world gets a little bit more uncertain, a little crazier, and a little more hectic. It's amazing how much activity we try to cram into our days. You know, nothing seems stable as everything is in motion. Everything is changing, and the anxiety of society has reached a fevered pitch. No matter where we look, the traditional norms of society, family, marriage, respect for authority, have long ago been torn down and replaced with an ideology that promotes socialism, diversity, open borders, and lawlessness. Each person decides for themselves what is right and what is wrong. You know, where have we seen this acted out before? We're reminded in the last chapter of Judges, in chapter 21, verse 25, it said, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." It seems that our educational system is at the core of what is wrong with our society. You know, as mothers have been forced into the workplace due to increases in the cost of living and increases in taxes, schools and daycares and the like have been left with the arduous task of training and raising children. However, in this free and open society that promotes moral relativism, where everyone's opinions have equal standing, there is no universal or absolute set of moral principles, it seems, in today's world. Children are not growing up with the norms that were commonplace a couple of generations ago. Over the years, the entertainment industry has been used as a laboratory to introduce new ideas to the public in order to sway public opinion one way or another. In fact, the manipulation of mankind was set in motion from the very beginning. When Adam and Eve were placed on this earth, Satan became their number one enemy. He wanted to destroy them by lying to them in Genesis 3, verse 4, by saying, "You will not surely die." The big lie. The big lie. Ever since Adam and Eve made that fateful decision to take of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, mankind has been at odds with their Creator. Ever since they took unto themselves the decision to determine what was good and what was evil, the societies which sprang from them have taken a steady spiral trek downward into corruption, tyranny, and despotism. God had given Adam and Eve everything that would have made an incredible life. Imagine living in a paradise that was filled with an abundance of food, where one only needed to pick it and eat it. God knew that Satan would influence and inspire man's direction throughout the course of history. Satan is the common thread that has been present since the beginning. He is always broadcasting attitudes of malcontent, strife, and pride to hundreds of generations. Each generation would be played off against the next, and each race and nation would strive with their neighbors. You know, after Adam and Eve had sinned, they were cut off from the tree of life that would have given them access to the Holy Spirit of God and immortal life. But they were cut off from that. They were removed from the Garden of Eden and sentenced to a life of rigor and hard toil. Cherubim were placed to guard the way to the tree of life. God cut off access to revealed knowledge and left man to go out and devise for themselves their own forms of religion, their own forms of government, and their own cultural norms. You know, God wants humanity to obey him, to do what was right. and what was good, as his instructions are not onerous. God instructed man in the way to true happiness. He gave man his commandments. Commandments that, if followed, would bring peace and happiness. Otherwise, they would experience calamity and sorrow. Yet God knew that without access to the tree of life, symbolizing the Holy Spirit of God, they would never achieve the objectives that God had in store for them on their own. You know, we read in Romans 5, verse 12, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned." You know, God was surprised that the man's descent would be so quick and so intent, that after nearly 2,000 years, the intent of man's heart would only be evil continuously, so much so that God, in his mercy, had to destroy the antediluvian world to slow down the pace of man's corruption and wickedness. This evil separated man from God. Man's ways, influenced by Satan, brought pain and suffering to all humanity. Yet God had a plan that would eventually allow for the reconciliation of man to himself, and that plan required a Redeemer that would make up for the difference, that would reconcile what man lacked to what God had intended. God's plan for redemption was put into place from the very beginning, from the very foundation of the world. And what did Christ tell his disciples in John 10? John 10, verses 9 through 11. Verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." You know, Christ referred to the fact that he is the door. We can only have this abundant life if we go through him, by becoming one with him. At the beginning of chapter 10 and verse 1, it said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." You know, humanity, for the most part, does not want to do what God so clearly tells them to do, for the carnal mind is enmity against God. Romans 8, 7. Mr. Wickman just mentioned that briefly in his split sermon. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." The human mind is always at odds with doing things God's way, and man's heart is deceitful above all things, referring to Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Continuing in verse 2, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he brings them out, his own sheep," let me read that again, verse 4, "and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." It is amazing how sheep become accustomed to their own shepherd's voice. We, as Christians, as his sheep, can hear our shepherd's voice as that still small voice that leads us onto paths of righteousness. Those in the world do not hear his voice, as we have seen in our modern progressive society, or even acknowledge that there is a voice to be heard. You know, when our nation was founded, our forefathers had deep religious roots. Quoting from former Chief Justice Earl Warren, he stated, "I believe the entire Bill of Rights came into being because of the knowledge our forefathers had of the Bible and their belief in it. Freedom of belief, of expression, of assembly, of petition, the dignity of the individual, the sanctity of the home, equal justice under the law, and the reservation of powers to the people." He continues, "I like to believe we are living today in the spirit of the Christian religion. I like also to believe that as long as we do so, no great harm can come to our country. As long as we do so, as long as we operate as a Christian nation." That last part he didn't say, but I just add that in there. You know, God told ancient Israel of what would happen if they would keep his commandments and his statutes. He also warned what would befall them if they disobeyed his commandments. We can start reading this in Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26, starting in verse 1. God had laid out a number of blessings for the children of Israel, that if they were to follow his ways and obey his laws, they would be blessed. Leviticus 26 and verse 1. It starts off by saying, "You shall make no idols nor graven image, neither rear up you a standing image. Neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land in order to bow down to it. For I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." In the previous chapter of Leviticus, in chapter 25, God had laid out the importance of the Sabbath, of having the land Sabbath every 7 years, and the Jubilee year, the 50th year of release. Here, he was reiterating the importance of keeping those Sabbaths. The 7th year land Sabbath and the 50-year Jubilee are economic laws that God has established. We see economic cycles in this country, and they follow the 7-year and 50-year time cycle. You know, debts build up and must be cleared from the books. Economic cycles do that. We have seen a massive amount of bankruptcies in just the last few years as a result of the COVID virus that came through and the policies that were implemented in response to it. I work in downtown Minneapolis, and Minneapolis used to be a very vibrant city. Especially during the day, during the work day, people would be walking through the skyways, and there would be restaurants all over the place that people could go and have lunch with. Now when I go out, there's hardly anything. There's hardly anybody walking through the skyways. There's hardly anybody downtown. And Minneapolis has, a lot of the businesses have closed and are shuttered permanently. One interesting note, just recently in the news, is that Saudi Arabia has not re-entered into a 50-year agreement, which was signed in 1973, 1974, at the workings of Henry Kissinger. They had agreed at that time that they would only sell their oil for U.S. dollars. This had effectively been a backstop to the value of the dollar, because all nations had to have dollars in order to purchase oil. Now, since this was not renewed, all nations can now use their own currencies to purchase oil. The need to hold dollars has diminished, and more nations are moving away from holding them. You know, with the rise of the BRICS coalition, from its initial five members, BRICS standing for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, there were five original nations. Now there is over 35, with a lot more waiting in the wings to sign up. This coalition is providing a new method of doing trade throughout the world without the US dollar. The hegemony of the dollar has come to the end. Continuing in Leviticus 26 and verse 3. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Obedience to God's statutes and commandments will bring abundance to the rains that would come at the right time of the year. Verse 5, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. Verse 6, and I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. Verse 9, for I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Verse 12, jump down to verse 12, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. God will dwell among his people and be their God. It was God that had set them free from the bonds of Egyptian slavery. He then proceeds to warn them, continuing in verse 14. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning Og, A-G-U-E, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of the heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. You know, do we see this coming to pass in our society today? Terrorism, threats of terrorism are on the rise. Ever since 9/11, 2001, our country has been in a state of national emergency, a state of war. In fact, the war on terror has been the longest running war in our history. Consumption, as noted in that previous verse, probably refers to reference to cancer, because it has become one of the leading causes of death in our country. You know, a lot of effort's been put into the research of how to cure it, but we have to ask ourselves, what is the cause of cancer in the first place? Many have purported that the increased agricultural use of chemicals in our food supply could be a major contributor. Because our nation does not observe the land Sabbath to rest the land is forced to produce by the application of chemical fertilizers. Because the soil has become so depleted, the food does not contain the nutrients necessary to make our bodies healthy. A lot of food is so heavily processed with added preservatives that it doesn't provide the proper nutrition for our bodies to stay well. When the ground is not healthy, pests become a problem, and farmers are forced to apply pesticides to control them and herbicides to control the weeds. These pesticides and herbicides then make their way into the food supply. And we see a marked increase of food-related allergies. All this is the result of not properly taking care of the land and letting it rest 1 year and seven. Verse 17, Leviticus 26, "And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you." Verse 19, "And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass." You know, God will hold back the rain in due season. You know, we have seen a marked increase in the amount of drought and forest fires in the last few years. The severity of those fires have been counted upon by the result of poor land management. The forests have become a tinderbox because of improper management. They have not been cleared as they should be cleared every so often. They're just waiting to explode in fire. Verse 20, "And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate." Verse 25, "And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy." And what do we see in our society today? People have gathered into the cities by the millions. In Isaiah 5 verse 8 stated, "Woe to those who join house to house. Woe to those who join house to house." You know, for cities to be maintained, a vast array of services and infrastructure must run like clockwork. Any breakdown to the transportation, utility, or even the credit payment systems will cause severe hardships to the residents of those cities. Continuing in verse 26, "And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven." That's kind of a reference to the scarcity of food. "And they will deliver you your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied." There is a coming time when the land will not produce because the rains will not be in due season. We see severe droughts, and yet people do not stop and ask why. They point to global warming or climate change as the cause. They don't think it is because of the sins of the nation. "And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it." Our country, because it has rejected the laws of God to remember the Sabbath day, to honor your parents, to not kill, to not commit adultery, to not steal, just to name a few, is slated for hard times. If America would turn back to God, she could avoid this calamity. God takes this very seriously. However, America will not be made great again unless its people repent of their sins and turn back to God with their whole heart and soul. If they confess their iniquity, verse 40, Leviticus 26, if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary to me, verse 41, and that I also have walked contrary unto them and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled and they then accept the punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths, while she lies desolate without them, and they shall accept the punishment of their iniquity, because they despise my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. You know, this is disheartening to read in knowing what is in store for our country. Many of our people do not understand what the result will be for their turning away from God. Many have become accustomed to lifestyles that are promoted by the society in which we live. How did our society become so devoid of the values which were once so commonplace? How did society that once looked fondly upon the laws of God turn into a society that has forsaken them? Romans 1, verse 18 to 22, speaks about how man has rejected God. Verse 18, Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has showed it unto them. Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, today we see an attempt by the media to sway the public's opinion. You know, we see fake news being presented as fact. We see people being deceived by those that want to control our lives. Christ warned us. Matthew 24, verse 4, he said, when talking to his disciples by Jerusalem, he said, in answer to their question of when the sign would be, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. No one deceives you. Not becoming deceived applies to all aspects of our life, not just religion. We are instructed in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, test all things, hold fast what is good. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by our word or our epistle. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Or in Hebrews 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. You know, after America, Australia, Canada, England, and other descendants of Israel suffer the punishment of turning away from God, he will send Christ back to this earth and rescue the remnant and restore them to their land. I would like to close on a positive note by reading from Isaiah 35 and verse 3. Isaiah 35, verse 3. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. with the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Those that do not see spiritually see the evil of this world. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. They will at last be able to hear and understand the truth of God being expounded through his word. Right now, their eyes are blinded and their ears are closed. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, those that were carried off into captivity, and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You know, we look forward to the return of Jesus Christ and the coming kingdom of God, because only then will our problems be solved. And that is why we need to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness.